You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for Breaking Bad. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Breaking Bad news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for Breaking Bad!
Yay!
Hey!
Yay! We're back!
It's back.
Oh my
Double
gosh.
Very long hiatus.
Double yay.
We are back. This is season four.
Yes.
Episode one of Breaking Bad, the box cutter episode,
yes.
for
yes.
July 18th. And the reason we are going up on July 19th was because there was this little thing called Carmageddon that was supposed to come get us.
Did it? Did it get anyone?
It
didn't.
I was
didn't. Hunkered down in a bunker, so I had everything all
with your canned
off.
Soup?
I yeah, hid in
exactly.
Miami.
There you go.
It was non-existent.
It didn't happen,
it
right?
Never
no,
came.
It didn't really happen.
It never happened, yeah, just okay. like the Patriots losing the Super
yeah,
Bowl. It never happened.
Bunch of hype.
So,
I liked this show, which was hyped very well and delivered.
And delivered, right?
Carmageddon did not deliver.
Carmageddon yeah. did not deliver, so here we are on Monday. From this moment forward, we will be here Sunday nights. Five minutes after the live show goes off the air, so you can get your points in and feel you're connected right away. Because after I watched this, I was screaming, "Why are we doing this right now?"
Yeah, yeah. But it did. It did give me a second chance to watch it again today.
I know,
yeah.
which was so much fun. Yeah. I loved seeing it again.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I think I know. I'm super excited. I got into Breaking Bad last summer. My dad actually told Kevin, you know what show you gotta watch, Kevin? You gotta watch Breaking Bad. It's a very good show. So then Kevin comes to me. He's like, hey, honey, I think we should get into Breaking Bad. Your dad said it was great. I'm like, I'm not gonna watch a show my dad watches. Like, my dad watches weird shows. I don't know. And so we got into it. And by the way, the birth of AfterBuzz was due to Breaking Bad.
There you go. Yes.
So this
we all to your father. Then.
This whole network.
Yeah.
This whole network was born off of Breaking Bad and my dad's suggestion. So, of course, this is the show I'm going to be most loyal to.
Really?
I have jumped in and hosted some Jersey Shore episodes, but my travel schedule.
Okay,
will,
so you came in season three and you had to watch season one and two then.
I watched every season last summer.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm
How
telling
long did
you,
it take you to get through?
Well,
it?
Yeah, actually,
it
yeah,
was,
because
oh,
you
I got it done in like 2 months or something like crazy short.
It goes like that.
It was
I had
like,
the same experience. I was doing like every night I'd come home from whatever I did, I'd watch two episodes a night.
Easy.
Sometimes three. Yeah. I was just getting to bed at like 3 a.m.
I understand heroin addiction now because
or
it was
meth
like.
Addiction as it may be.
Yeah, it was like drugs to me. I'd stay up to like 5 a.m. and then have to be at work at 9. I'm like, what am I doing? But I couldn't get enough.
Yeah.
And I literally remember it. I finished all the episodes last July, and I wanted to slit my wrists. I'm like, how am I going to wait an entire year?
Yeah, they've made us wait a long time.
They
yes.
sure have, yeah.
And yet, you know, as we'll probably hear later, like just more people have come back. It's one of those rare
yeah, they
series
really,
where
word of mouth
they're
build.
gaining
exactly.
gaining
yeah,
every
yeah, yeah.
season viewers. And that's pretty amazing.
That has to be due to the fact that Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul always wipe out at the Emmys.
Yeah,
and take
three in
every,
a row.
Yeah, I mean,
Cranston Scott.
For
and
best
word
actor,
of mouth,
best supporting
I
actor.
I guess it proves that, like, word of mouth.
Yeah,
like,
they,
just
they really
people.
Let it build. They didn't really do anything. They just let word of mouth build.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It
was
so,
really anticipated.
I think we've broken new ground with this show. I think it's a testament to how good the show is. Yeah, they got the awards, but guess what? I'm not watching it because they got the awards.
Yeah.
I'm watching because it's the best show I've ever seen.
But yeah. I use that when I pitch it to people. Mm-hmm. I'm always like, you've got to watch Breaking Bad. It's the best show on television.
True.
And then people are like, oh, yeah, everybody says that about Mad Men. Everybody says that about this and that. And I'm like, no, really. And then I go, it's no coincidence that Aaron Paul and Bryan Cranston always win at the Emmys. And then they're like,
Yeah.
And that kind of perks them up. So I use that
as
a selling
point. That is credit.
Yeah.
But another thing to note is that all of the shows that we're talking about are from AMC, and I don't know what's in the water in those buildings, but they cannot get it wrong so far. I mean, The Walking Dead as well, and Mad Men, of course, and we're going to have to wait like 13 months before, you know, season five or whatever.
2012, yeah.
Thank God I didn't get into that.
Not only are they making good choices.
You're going to wait until the end and then
I don't need that pain.
But not only are they making good choices, they're letting them find the audience. They're letting that thing breathe. And they're letting them do almost anything they want. I mean, where in TV do you get a five-minute scene where nothing is said?
That's right.
Well, Vince Gilligan is so in control of it, and from what it looks like, they give him that control.
They let really talented showrunners do their thing. I mean, it's the same with The Killing, which is my favorite episode, series of this, like new this year. I was just in love with it, and we did some AfterBuzz shows for it. It's the same thing, allowing a really gifted showrunner to like pursue and realize their vision.
Right.
Mm. Yeah, I agree.
And I mean, you know, nothing clearer than that than how the show started this first episode, picking up exactly where it left off, as we see Jesse here on the screen in the room here, just looking at Gale
and
having
amazing,
just shot him.
Yeah, exactly. And you just letting the actor work.
Yeah, like the whole first half of this. Yeah. I mean, really the whole episode, it allowed so much breathing space. The pacing was the first thing I noticed.
Yeah, I almost wanted to look at the script and go, how much dialogue they actually wrote in this.
It's like a 30-page, 42-minute episode.
It's one of the thinnest 60 shows of dialogue that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Well, I was nervous in the beginning of the episode because it felt a little slow, and I'm like, come on, get to the good stuff. I'm like, I've been dying for this, and then
they just let it build. Man.
Yeah,
just
they were like, forced us. They forced us to work at
being
their pace.
Stingy, not giving us anything.
It didn't matter to me that it was going slow because I was so shocked that Jesse actually killed Gale. I spent the whole 13 months thinking, no way.
Oh, he knew he did it.
Because at the end, he moved the gun a little bit to the side, and I thought he chickened out, I have a question about this because I don't remember. Last year, do you guys remember? Did Gale say, when Jesse pointed the gun at him, did he say something like, you don't have to do this?
Yes, I think he did.
He did?
Something like that.
Okay, and where's Phil? Is Phil not even in earshot
in the
here?
Booth, no.
Okay, he's got like a conspiracy theory that we'll talk about.
We're going to get to that. Okay, so let's start off talking about Gale's death. Because obviously Jesse did pull the trigger. There he is. I mean, right in the eyeball too. Poor guy.
And Osama bin Laden, like,
right?
Isn't that nice?
What they choose to open and close their episodes with are always so specific. And it was so nice having that little flashback to Gale at the beginning, where he uses the box cutters that come back later in the episode. Yeah. And seeing, I love the way he talked about Walter's.
Oh, he was
Nixon,
so enamored 99%. Of him. He was so in awe of that night.
Okay, so I'm watching that, and I'm like, I kept telling Kevin, I go, what is he doing? Is he crazy? Why is he pitching Walt?
Yeah. He's got the job. He's got the
chicken
job.
The chicken man is happy with 96%.
But he's a scientist. He realizes how amazing the 99% purity thing is.
I think. Okay. So there is a conspiracy theory out there online that he perhaps was a DEA agent.
That he's trying to get Walt in the room so he can get the big guys. Yeah. So he can get them prosecuted. But
Gale was a DEA.
That's what people are suggesting.
How is getting Walt in the room going
to
help him?
But here's the thing, because you need to bust everybody.
That's the guy that makes the blue meth. Nobody else does it.
And he's the guy to get.
Yeah, he's the guy they want.
Him and the chicken
man. The money guy's always the guy you get.
You got to get both of them. But here's what's interesting is there's no reason, like, okay, Kevin kept saying, Maria, he's an amazing nerd. That's why.
he's so enamored
with the fact that, you know, he makes 100% pure meth. And I'm like, Kev, I'm like, he just pitched it too long and too much. There's just no reason to try to give your amazing, high-paid job to somebody else.
Unless you're a dweeb.
I'm not in it for the money.
Yeah.
And I think that there's two different possible motivators, people with motivation there. The writers, they could have been just making us, because we see that scene before we find out that Gale's actually dead.
Yeah.
And what that did was that made me like Gale. I didn't really like him that much. I kind of felt sorry for him because he was a weird nerd and all this stuff, and I had pity on him. But when I saw him being honest and saying, you know what, I'm good, but this guy is 3% better than me, and I just would rather have everybody be the best. You know, he just seemed like a Boy Scout there for a second. And then we're all in love with him, and then he's dead. You know, so I felt like they set us up to let us down, which is, you know, that would be the writers doing that, right? But here's what I think, and I'm going to say this, and maybe it's a prediction or something, but since Gail said, you don't have to do this, I think that there is a time lapse that possibly that we're not privy to. And I think that maybe Gail and Jesse faked Gail's death. And I think that's why, and I think that's why he moved the gun, and that's why the pot has a hole in it, and that's, and
no, the pot went through his head, and then
I'm saying that he is DEA, and that that's all makeup, and they're doing the whole thing.
Oh,
yes!
That'd be crazy.
Yes, he's alive, right? And the, and the assistant to the, to Gus, to the chicken
man. Product, I think that's I'm just saying,
the assistant to the chicken man was supposed to come in and see him there, and look at him and go, oh, the guy's dead. His brain's
all
over
the
ground.
The cops there at the end that were taking
all
in on
it. He says, Jesse, you don't have to do this. Okay. And then what we don't see is Jesse goes...
So who, but who are they doing that for?
Huh?
Yeah, I'm not...
Because what's now, CSI there for?
Remember, Jesse has always... How many times has Jesse tried to get Walt to go to witness protection? Dude, I'll go on the lam. I'll be all right. You got your family. Go into witness protection. Walt, that Jesse is now... connected with the DEA, and he's got the opportunity.
I just poked the biggest hole in this.
Okay, come on.
Okay, when you see Jesse's face after he murdered him, I mean, that just illustrates to you he did the most horrendous thing in the world.
And there's a turn, and something's happened to Jesse.
That was interesting. You could have done that as a writer. It could have worked.
Could have done it, but I wouldn't buy all those cops at the end.
Actually, on the show in terms of the function of this episode for like the whole cast and their relationship, I feel like we see the way that Walt's decisions and all of his actions have affected those around him and how they are now starting to change too.
Yeah, and this is
we
sets
see
up the whole
Skylar,
season
for like
Skylar's
performance.
Now.
Yeah, but what performance with the baby?
Yeah.
It's very simple, but she puts
she's
her
so
baby
she's
over.
So she's getting seduced into the world.
So she does that super quick. Jesse, like that last conversation between the two of them
in the
Denny's,
restaurant. Oh man, he's
and Walt looks up and is like,
"He's like, what do you mean?
What's happened? What
am I saying?"
That's the thing. I hate it that Jesse had crossed over. That was the only pure thing left between Walt and Jesse was that Jesse hadn't actually killed anybody.
That sets up this whole season. This whole season's
arc. You know
for
what?
Him
at the end of the day, he was saving himself, right?
Yeah, he was.
Well, he could have ran.
Well, yeah, he could have. He could have.
He would have caught him up. He had to do it.
Every chance he's given meant to run, he's always not done it. So.
Yeah.
It's just not in it.
Yeah, he had
what was that line he said? At least he
in
knows we're on the same page.
Yes, exactly.
That we'll either...
If I can't kill you, I'm going to make you wish you were dead.
Yeah.
I didn't get that. Wait, if I can't kill you, I remember... And then I got busy and didn't think
about
it.
I'll either kill you or you'll wish you were dead.
Because basically, if I can't kill you...
So
you're screwed either way.
We're going to, if we screw each other, they're prepared to do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
To ruin, I mean, like Gus's whole operation was jeopardized that night, and that is why that guy had his throat slit. It's because he was
other
seen.
People saw him. At the,
he was a witness,
and he was going to say, "All right, you think you can kill? So can I?
Well, for sure.
We'll be so much trouble to you that you wish you were dead if we're not dead. So we're like, we're all prepared to kill each other.
Yeah, we're going to go off the cliff together.
But we all want the money.
Blaze of glory.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it's funny. When Gus's guy went down there, you knew when Mike said, did anyone see you?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You knew he was as good as
dead. I thought he was
going
to shoot him right there.
Like, oh,
I thought he said, well, I better get this over. I thought he was going to turn around and pop him.
Yes!
And then I really noticed watching it the second time today how much him trying to do all the cooking was really him going, I'm going to prove my use.
Don't kill me, don't kill me.
That's right, I didn't think of that.
Well, yeah, he gave him a little smirk when Gus came in. He smiles at him like, look, man, I can do it. You don't need these guys.
We don't need Walt. I can do this.
Wasn't it amazing? He's like, I know he's not going to remember the aluminum.
Yeah.
I just know it. What an amazing
sweating bullets, too. Wait, you're taking my job away. I just got rid of this other guy.
It was great.
I was bummed out at that because I thought, okay, it's way too early for Walt to be doing any kind of joking or levity. I mean, he knows that Jesse just killed the first person he's ever killed.
He wasn't joking. He was trying to prove why I'm better and he's a clown.
Well, but who is he proving it to? No, Gus wasn't in the
room. It's his ego. Walt's ego is one of his faults now.
True.
Especially now.
Yeah, that's
like,
what I thought it was
he's
all
like,
about.
He's like, I'm Heisenberg.
Yeah, exactly. I just got rid of this other guy. I just killed this other guy. You can't step in for me.
It's ego and... one of those guys could have killed him in any of those moments. They had the authority and the power, so he had to keep showing why he was so valuable.
Which was, you know, I mean, and that was the way the tension was so beautifully drawn in that incredible scene that I think you already referenced, John, when Gus comes in and does not say a thing for something like 8-9 minutes, and then Walt has to pitch himself out of really pure fear. And he just, I mean, God, Cranston's a master. And then that sudden violent action that took us all by surprise.
That was the most amazing murder.
It was. Oh. But when he first walked in and started putting on the hazmat, I thought he was just gonna show Walt, I'm going to cook.
I thought he was going to join with us.
I'll tell you why. Because it was so easy, and the obvious choice would be get on the hazmat and kill him. Because that's what you would think would happen. So I was thinking, okay, they're going to twist this around and make him sweat some more by saying, I don't need you. I can cook myself. Yeah. I've been doing it way before you ever did, so I don't even need you. Now I'm going to kill you.
Exactly. Yeah. Gus would do that. He would make them watch and then try. And then, of course, you know, they would get away some kind of way, you know, because they've got 12 more episodes to do.
Gus only knows how to cook chicken. He doesn't know how to cook meth. I knew blood was coming. I just didn't know it was going to be
I knew
meth.
Blood was coming, too. I just thought they were going
to
do something with
him. A sociopath. God, he is terrifying. He has really carved out that so beautifully.
So perfect with the shoes and the glasses.
The detail.
And the
I'd noticed exactly like, the same thing. The way he shakes them off, places them on top. Yeah.
And then they showed him after he brutally... It was such a great scene, that murder. Oh, my God. I sound like a crazy person for loving it, but I loved it. It was so gory. But at the end, when he went back and, okay, taking this off, let me wash my face. And I'm like, okay, they're going to cut away now. Oh, no, let me put the shirt on. Yep. Let me put my tie on.
They
like,
really just let it sit there, man. I was so appreciative of that.
Yeah, I love they were going to
and
do
so
that.
Then when we heard his voice for that one line, get back to work, and I remembered I hadn't heard his voice in so long, and that particular accent that he has, that kind of heightened in educated thing. And the whole episode, really, it was kind of like, wasn't it like, you know, when you haven't seen one of your best friends in the world for 2 years and you meet them for a beer or coffee and you pick up like you never left off.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
I'm curious if they had any lines drawn, any lines written for that scene for Gus at all.
They just decided,
you know what? Don't say anything.
Okay, question.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to have been in the writer's room for that.
Yeah, because they would have said, no, don't say a word until you leave.
He could have said no word.
He could have just looked at them and then left. I would have been
even more powerful.
I would have crapped my pants. Too.
Okay, I have a question about that scene.
Because it's obvious, right? If he walks out and he's leaving them there, it's like,
I would have let his henchmen say,
all right, get to work, you know, because he didn't have to say a word.
Okay, my question about the scene is, what's up with Jesse's face right after Gus kill?
Jesse, that's what I was thinking.
He's growling at him almost. You can't hear it.
You're right.
It's like, you know, and I'm like, okay, that was a change. Jesse's sitting there, you know, solemn.
Yeah. He thought he was
and
next.
Walt is all
that was like fight or flight.
I don't think it was. I think it was
the seed of what he said to Walt later.
That's what I think.
That was him coming across him where he was like, you know what? I've done this.
And he's just killed. Exactly.
I'm okay with it.
That's what I think.
This is the new turf.
That's right.
This is the new way that we do business.
That's exactly what I was thinking when he did that.
I think he was going forward.
Yeah. Rather than be disgusted, he went forward.
Yeah.
That means he's not afraid of this.
Yeah.
He's no longer the Jesse that freaks out about this stuff.
He hates Gus for making him feel that way again, seeing more death.
Part of his humanity just left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt in the last scene, obviously, you know, he's such a good actor. He really showed that. I felt like he was an empty. He was like a stripper.
Mm.
Dead inside.
Yeah, right.
That's a line in our movie. I do not think strippers are dead inside. Yeah. I'm just, you know.
Yeah, no, great. But I mean,
we're going to get letters.
We were in compliance. You didn't have to retract that.
But you know what I'm saying. It's a line in our movie.
I'm dead inside, and I'm not a stripper.
Like strippers, they're dead inside. But no, I felt that at the end.
Yeah.
But my question is, Mike is very interesting in this.
Yeah.
Because he's watching. I think he was scared after what
he pulled his gun. He pulled his gun when the knife went across the throat. He pulled his gun.
Oh, I don't remember the gun.
Yeah, man.
I saw this yesterday.
He was like, he wasn't expecting
Gus,
that.
I didn't see that scene again today.
Yeah. But I think, and then the fact that he helped them with the body, I feel like he's going to be on their side.
Oh yeah.
In this,
I think he realizes when he saw that he's expendable too. Exactly.
Well,
as good as I am, and as much as this guy needs me, He'd cut my throat in a second.
I think Mike is the dark figure that in the scenes from the next show where Walt says something like, I want you to understand I didn't mean for anything like this to happen.
I think Mike is the dark figure.
Did you?
I just saw his ear, and it looked like Gus.
I thought it was Mike.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I thought it might be Mike, but I do love how just how honest that kind of that mercenary relationship is.
That
he and Walt are able to, like, just in the final episode of last season,
right,
Gus is literally about to kill him. Walt talks him out of it.
Yeah.
They have this relationship that's extremely frank and honest.
And Mike, he's the guy that put in his head no half measures.
Yeah. He told him the story.
He calls it back. He says, you didn't think I was going to take measures, extreme measures? Yeah. Walt brings it back. So that's still part of their...
Well spotted. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's still part of their vernacular.
Yeah.
So it's
Can we talk production design for a moment?
Absolutely. I thought it was beautiful.
I mean, this show, to me, is shot
green,
like nothing else.
That box cutter.
The green knife.
Opening up.
The red floors, the stairway to hell, right? When they're coming down the stairs
because
and
when
the
I
red
think
floor.
When I think of the design of the last three seasons... It's green and yellow, right? Yellow of the desert, the green of their title page, something elemental about it.
And there's also money in that green.
That's right. And all of the stuff in the desert has always had that grade on it, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And this episode was really blue and red.
Blue and red. And Walt's blue shirt was really
Jesse's fun. Red shirt when he kills the red floor, the blue light, the blue of the crystals.
And did you notice
the chemicals
in the diner
and the
at the end? The canopies over the lights were all red, like the blood was still hanging over their heads. All of them over the restaurant.
Yeah.
And you would never see that in a restaurant.
Yep. No, and it was kind of interesting. Just when the TV came on here, I just caught a glimpse of a couple of the moments of the last episode of last season where Jesse and Walt are talking. Remember they were in that arcade store with the jukeboxes?
Yes.
And there was a shot of Aaron of Jesse, and it's just there's a red light or blue light flashing on and off, and there's red behind them. They obviously started the color design that entered in, you know, this episode at the end of last season. Right. I didn't pick up on it as much then.
Because I was going to say, I always remember the blue.
Yeah.
I don't remember the green as much.
I guess the blue is the chemicals, right? And
it's the blue ice. They cover the whole thing, and now they're keeping that thing going. It's interesting how they were doing that, though.
Yeah. You had those beautiful, the next scene that opened from commercial, the blood shots. Like
the
two
racing trails of blood.
And I started thinking Macbeth as well.
I thought was the two of them.
I just started thinking Macbeth with the blood. The amount of blood on the floor, him washing his hands. I mean, you can't,
it's all there.
I don't know if that's deliberate. I mean, you just see blood and someone washing their hands of blood and you think Lady Macbeth.
It's part of our DNA now, Macbeth. I mean, anytime you see that kind of stuff.
I always wonder, like, people at home who are watching and if you're listening and you want to call in, I always wonder how much that plays into people at home watching, because we know what production design is and means because we're in the business. I would have never known what production design was when I was back home in Boston watching this show. But I wonder how much, you know, people kind of know about that. Because to me,
the good
really
thing is that when it's good like this, even if you don't know specifically,
you feel it.
Can't not help
it's
but feel
so
something.
Because
I can say that I just felt it because I don't know anything about production
design.
So.
Right?
No knowledge.
But all
of
these colors and all of these things mean something. Just like the fact that they were both in Kenny Rogers shirts with white pants and the red shoe, like. That was, to me, their uniform. They're now equal. They're on the same team. Jesse's got something on him. He's got something on them. They're like square to me. Wow. And you're the writer in the group, so you know better than anybody, you know, what that uniform could have meant. But to me, it was like, okay.
One of my favorite bits of the whole episode was just the very last shot of, you know, Walt is there with Skylar, and he's obviously exhausted. He's been up for 24 hours. But it reminded me again of some of those first times when he came back from some huge incident and had to say everything was fine. He was like, right as rain. Obviously not.
Talk about
and as he walks away, he plays with his pants, which still don't quite fit.
Oh, they're too big.
They're just a bit too big.
What was your take on the uniform, John, before we move on from that?
Well, that whole thing we had all that bloodlust happening and then the cleanup. And then there's that catharsis. You hope that, okay, we're finally out of it. And so they're wearing these, well, when we first see them, they're just these bland, which they're almost nondescript. So they're almost like a tabula rasa. What's going to happen next? And they're actually discussing what's our next move. So that's, to me, what it was. It's like, okay, blank slate. We're all done with that, right? Everything's going to go back to normal. And we say the first thing we find out is, no, it's not going back to normal because Jesse says, no, it's not. And we see the turn of Jesse. So that's what it was to me, is that we're trying to start clean. Like,
plus they had that guy's blood all over their other clothes.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, there's that. But why'd they pick those uniforms?
Yeah. Okay, well, red cons. See, the red cons is he got Converse shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
Weren't they green?
They were red.
They were red.
They were red, okay.
And then with the red of the light, and then those Converse shoes, I'm going, they can't get away from it. They are blood in,
head to toe,
blood out. They are not going to get
away from it. And
blood in, because the bloodshot went into the ketchup, and he's eating the blood. He's like, I'm a vampire now. I want blood.
From a layman's perspective, the uniform, my thought was, okay, I know they had to get the new clothes before they left the facility. So I'm thinking, where'd they get the clothes? And I immediately thought, well, their cover, the place overhead, is a laundry facility. So I guess they deal in, like, new clothes, and they wash them right before they go out. So I just figured that, you know, Mike went upstairs and grabbed whatever clothes were there, and that's why they didn't fit and threw them at Jesse and Walt.
Maybe.
I mean, that's probably
interesting. I mean, who knows? I mean, I would love to find out why they chose Kenny Rogers. I mean, I don't know about that.
What did the green knife mean?
I think it was just because they were going in that different palette, and that really showed up well against the red and the blues. And I also think it harkens back to their title page and all the other greens that they've had throughout the seasons. But for me, more than anything, it was just you could not mistake that green of that box cutter.
Don't forget that was the same box cutter that Gale used to open all of the equipment.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so could it be that Gale chose that green box cutter? You know what I mean? Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. You know.
But for me, I think it was just because it popped so well against everything else.
Yeah.
How about when they were cleaning up and they were about to use the hydraulic acid on the body, and Mike goes, you know, I've never done this before.
Yeah,
and then he's like, trust us.
Yeah. Well, Mike's old school. He would be taking the guy out to the desert.
Yeah. I mean,
it's like, what are you guys
doing?
Also,
but Walt responded to that as well. Walt responded, his ears pricked up at Jesse using the word us. Like we collectively owning both of them, the murdering.
Season.
Because, I mean, remember, that to me harks back to that first season
where they
have to get rid of the body in the bath and this acid goes down.
That's why he said it, absolutely.
And that's why I think, go back to the uniform, I think that's why they were matching outfits.
Yeah, they could be, absolutely. Yeah.
They're on the same team.
Well, you can see them coming because now that Jesse's killed, I mean, they're...
I think that's, you know, I think the practical story is true that you suggested, and then, but I think the meaning of it
is
what you're saying as well. I think it's all about the
same
time.
And the whole time, Walt is saying, look, if you kill me, you got no one to cook. If you mess with Jesse, you don't have me. So he's already putting him on equal sense, so.
Well, because he knows he's getting a solid.
Which Jesse?
He heard that. Yeah, he heard that. And
he
was like,
Well, now he has power because he had to do that because Jesse just did him a solid and murdered a really nice person for him.
Yeah, but
he also killed his girlfriend and all sorts of things.
Exactly, but the week prior to that, he mowed down those two guys with his car. So,
yeah, he also saved Jesse's life, so they are kind of even.
Yeah, no, that's why they're equal. I mean, same uniform.
God, just that moment. Run. I'll
exactly.
Never
that was amazing.
That was just extraordinary.
And I couldn't believe that.
Of course, in all of the you know, this sort of intensity, it is easy to forget the scenes with Hank in this episode that are kind of heartbreaking.
Oh, wrenching.
And brutal. Geez. And I mean, so typical of the show not to shy away.
I thought that was a more difficult scene than the violent one, just because I saw it and I was I literally said, just shoot me now. If it ends up being me, shoot me now.
The bedpan. I mean, he is so humiliated.
Exactly.
He is so humiliated.
I mean, here she is.
She has to steal herself. She has to prepare herself before she goes inside because she knows what she's going to be dealing with.
It was done really well. And what do you think's behind these crystals that he's collecting? This is interesting.
Some sort of diversion, but I can't exactly sure.
It's definitely a hobby, I think, because he would be hiding it if it was something bad.
Yeah, but it's some sort of diversion, but I'm not exactly sure why minerals.
Yeah,
no.
There's something about the rock, crystal, meth thing and minerals.
There's a connection, obviously.
He's trying to understand. He's trying to get in and understand what a crystal is and everything about it. He's probably
You think it's got to do with his draw? Like,
this dude is obsessed with the blue meth, period, end of story, and he's not...
Because that's what got him in that bed.
He is not going to be unobsessed with it until it's done.
But see, if it was about the crystal meth thing and he's that cognizant of it, I would think that he would be doing some work on actual crystal meth and the making of it.
Well,
and, but as
I mean, I don't
minerals.
Know how much information can you find out about crystal meth on
somewhere it's related.
Yes,
somewhere it's related.
Yeah,
he is not.
How.
He is obsessed. Period. He is. He's not.
Yeah, but I don't get that he's obsessed. I think he's just pathetically pissed off because I'm stuck like this, and I may be stuck like this for the rest of my life. I think it's just a diversion rather than an obsession.
Oh no. He's got one thing on his mind and one thing only.
Yeah,
I think the only thing he's got on his mind is I'm stuck in this thing and I have to use this stupid bedpan as a shitter.
No, but he made it clear. He's like, I'm ordering more of those. Like, he's been doing this.
Yeah he's got them sitting on. He's got them all like, sitting there.
When we were watching it,
I don't
Kevin
disagree
looked
with
at
you.
Me
I
and
just
he goes,
disagree with his motivation.
Yeah, Kevin looked at him at me and he goes, that's where all the money's going.
to the minerals.
Okay.
Because they needed more money, remember?
I don't know.
I thought those were
they're only
hospitals.
$5 a pop
yeah,
on eBay.
Bucks, yeah.
Like
yeah.
when you saw them, they're just
they're $5 a pop.
There's just it's just I'm
well,
sure that there's
right
something more
to
it. I look forward to finding out what exactly what it is.
They're also right next to the pill bottles, which is interesting. Why the crystals next to the pills?
Yeah, I don't know.
So the
no
other
idea.
Thing, you know, let's talk about Jesse and how cocky he was there. I mean, obviously, this is going to kind of become a problem. And
which,
that last scene, he really like, kind of was just
setting
the tone.
They've got a few problems coming
He's
their way.
No problem.
To hold off to
Walt's like horrified, disgusted, can't eat, probably won't eat for a week. This guy's just like taking
and
it down.
And asked for more to drink. I mean, he's like, oh, here it is.
Yeah.
One thing I didn't get.
See, now that makes me think that Gale's not dead. That's why he can eat and all that stuff.
He's just become
conspiracy.
A cold-blooded killer.
Exactly. I think
that's
he's
all.
Just losing. That's
yeah,
what I think.
I think
he's
just become
a
cold-blooded.
I think because I think in
the
writing
acceptance
and as an actor, that's where I'd want to take him.
And then let's wait and see till, you know, I mean, the greatest thing about the show was here you had this nice, like, nerdy teacher, and then all of a sudden he's a badass drug lord, right?
Yeah.
What's going to happen when Skyler becomes more of an accomplice? Because
I'm looking
you
forward
brought
the
up
baby,
a great point.
The whole thing.
Yeah, and the question, and you know, I mean, we're jumping ahead a bit to predictions, but does Jesse's, you know, net spiral down now? When does that start to collide with Walt's?
Yeah. We'll get to the predictions.
They'll be stingy about it. One thing I didn't quite understand, wanted some feedback on what you guys thought, the drawer and the eye.
Oh, okay, I remember that.
I don't remember what that was
Someone's
about.
It's from the remember right? the pink teddy bear that kept appearing in the pool.
Okay,
yeah.
Remember all those scenes? It's from the pink teddy bear.
To me,
I think it's just
meant
a callback.
Somebody's watching her.
No. Okay, the pink teddy bear is debris from the plane crash.
So
the eyeball and the pink teddy bear. So Walt has kept the eyeball as, in my opinion, sort of a reminder of the plane crash.
Okay, so I didn't remember about the teddy bear or pink dolls. All I could think of is that eyeball and Gale being shot in the eye. That was going, well, are they making some sort of connection?
Yeah.
I didn't at all remember, obviously, the pink doll.
What was the significance of the plane crash again? Like, that was...
Okay, so the significance of the plane crash was the fact that when Walt was faced with the decision of saving Jesse's girlfriend from choking or not.
Uh-huh.
Right. He decided to let her choke on her own vomit, right?
Yep.
And then her father was the air traffic controller in his just
depression.
Despair, he just said, you know what, screw it. I want these planes to crash. I'm just, you know.
It was a reminder of his choice.
Of the consequences of his actions.
And Walt didn't know that until he was watching the news and he saw that. And then he remembered that was also the guy that he ran into at the bar after.
Yeah.
Okay. And then one of the scenes that when I try to sell the show to everybody, I tell them the story of the plane. And then I describe to them the scene of Walt when he, in I think it was the beginning of season 3, where he was in front of the high school. And all of the students were grieving because of the plane crash.
Mm-hmm.
And only person in that room of hundreds of people that knew that he was responsible was Walt.
Yeah.
And they give him the microphone and they say, what do you have to say, Mr. White?
Isn't that amazing, that
speech? And so what does he do? And he starts to say, well, you know what? Let's look on the bright side.
Yeah.
Oh, it was just so painful.
To convince himself.
But that's why. And so I think he holds himself responsible for the whole thing.
Sure. He should. Yeah.
You
and
know?
I think also, like, for the creators and the writers, it's a nice just little callback to remind us of all that stuff.
They always have those
things.
I love
those things. Those, you know, those kind of little eyes and trinkets. They just they end up in drawers in your house, you know. And, right. And then there it is, rolling, these looking, reminders. Watching, judging. Is it a judging eye?
I think there was more to. I think there was more to Skylar's whole scenes. Meaning, when she heard that the car was still in the driveway.
Yeah.
I think Skylar has been preparing herself for Walt to just disappear or come up dead. And I think that's what she thought. Not that she, you know, yeah, she's trying to move the car so that Junior didn't see. But she was also like, I'm going to move the car. I'm going to hide the key. And then I'm washing my hands. I got money. You know, I'm done.
And that was one of my questions to you guys, is what was the significance of her moving the car? Because
I was just so that
I don't
the
think she could have thought that fast, that maybe he was dead.
No, yeah. I think it was because she didn't want to confuse their son.
Yeah, the immediacy of just making it not here so my son won't have to
worry.
Yeah,
the same way that his sister immediately thought.
I don't buy that. Yeah, I don't buy that. I think that was a part of it, but I think the main thing is that she has been mentally preparing herself for the fact that, you know, what could happen, her being in this criminal, this crime world now.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
self-preservation.
So she's ready for anything.
So I don't understand. Well, what does moving the car have to do with that, though? I mean, okay. I agree with you
because
that she's worrying.
She didn't say anything to her sister when she asked, oh, you and Walt. She could have said, no, we're not back together. Like, she could have responded, and she didn't.
Yeah, she's ready for anything that happens. She moves the car. She didn't have to answer any questions. Where's your husband? He left last night.
Like, she's not going to have to answer questions?
Is what she should say.
No, she's not going to
Her son's not going to go, what do you mean he left?
She doesn't want to have to explain
herself
to us, to the son. She also doesn't want any of Walt's professional accomplices looking for him to see that his car's at their house, I suppose.
Right. Think about the different questions that she would have to be would be directed at her if the car is in her driveway.
But the sister is going to totally be, like, within her rights to say something at the house if she goes and visits and says, oh, your dad's car. What happened? Is he here? I heard he's here now.
Oh, like, yeah.
You know what I mean? So if she was trying to hide that fact, she would have said, don't say anything. I'm moving it. I don't want Junior to be upset. Like, she didn't say any of that, so it's interesting.
Mm.
There's obviously...
But she's interested in the whole thing because she calls Saul, which is why we haven't talked about Saul.
Right.
Yeah.
That kind of proves your point.
Skylar has always been on the quiet side. Skylar has always been the chosen to be tight-lipped about stuff, especially when it comes to her sister.
Yeah.
Look at she's just
not saying anything. That's just her style, I think.
Yeah.
Saying less is safer. That was a great scene.
Saul was useless. I was very disappointed in
bugs.
Saul.
He's
paranoid.
Obsessed with bugs. Yeah,
he's checking for bugs.
He's paranoid.
He's great. He hasn't come home. He's fine.
He got a passport.
He's carpool, and he's saving the environment.
I like Grace. Oh, wait, I didn't hear that last word.
Chatty
Cathy.
That was amazing.
Yeah, you broke up
what
on the last
role.
Part.
Right. I'm just waiting for them.
He has such fun playing that thing.
I just can't wait for them to buy the car wash as they're laundering money.
Exactly.
I'm sure that's got to come back.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, well, shall we go to a break?
I think we should go to break. We'll come back with our special segment.
All right.
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call. 424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
It's television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Find out why AfterBuzz TV is the number one source for after-show content.
Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from? Your husband or your best friend?
The wig will come out.
When the TV show is over, get your AfterBuzz on.
And we're back. There it is.
Well,
oh, that's
nasty.
That's that great music.
I was just trying to tweet out the phone number to have people call in, but I don't really remember it. I think we need to write it down on the
table. Hey, Jesse, you want to give us that phone number for us?
424-256-1729.
Yeah, baby.
Thank you very much.
Okay. So, special segment. We had 13 months off of Breaking Bad.
Right.
Did this meet your expectations? We're going to start with you, John.
It did, but I still don't agree with the 13 months off. I don't care. It was just too damn long for me.
Right, me too.
Like
I don't like the long time off.
I don't like
off.
That. Mm. It, you know, I don't know, whatever. I don't know what the reasons were. I didn't check into that, but it's too damn long.
I wonder how long it can't take that long to shoot a new season. But you know,
well,
these are geniusly written and done shows.
Yeah.
So it's not. They're not. you know, turning over crap, so it must take a long time to come
well,
up with.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, the
way that they write this show, they actually have very much been making it up as they go along. They have no, like, you know.
Yeah, you think so?
Absolutely.
Yeah, they didn't. Jesse was only supposed to be there for the first four episodes. He was going to be dead.
I don't know who I was talking to just the other day, but they were like, I think Vince Gilligan knows exactly where this is going by the end of this.
I think that's really, really nice of you to say.
Do we know why it took so long?
I recall reading something about it, but I think they just wanted to take some time off. Mm-hmm. And then they really didn't know where the next season was going to go.
Yeah, I bet you they didn't have an arc figured out.
They wanted to take some time to make sure they got it right.
Yeah.
And then I think there was some scheduling stuff within AMC and other commitments, perhaps of actors and whatever, that made it kind of just sensible for them to give them the breathing space that they wanted to have a good break and then come back and really make sure they nailed it, which I think they probably did.
I think so.
Well, based on this, certainly.
Yeah.
Here's the problem is, and this was the debate. Now, obviously, I told you
thing.
Breaking Bad was born. Right. I mean, AfterBuzz was born because of Breaking Bad. Yes. So here's a dilemma I had. And I remember, I think I told you guys too via email. I'm like, I think I just want to wait till the season's over and watch them all at once.
I know.
And not do AfterBuzz shows for it because I can't wait six more days. Yeah. It really is a problem.
Well, look, you've got connections. They're already filming like episode 10.
And P.S. Okay, so I got into Dexter after this was over. Yeah. And I finished Dexter, and I gotta wait another year for that. I want to kill myself.
I heard that one was good too.
Oh, I love Dexter.
I have a love-hate relationship.
This is primo number one. I saw Jennifer Carpenter at the MTV gift suite that we broadcast AfterBuzz from, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm obsessed with your show. Okay, Breaking Bad's number one, but you guys are number two. But I'm secondly obsessed with you guys. And she's like, all right. She's like, I love that show.
It is kind of nice to know. It is like on a week-to-week basis when it's all happening to know that you've got that Sunday night.
Yeah.
I mean, with like as much as it's like it's pleasure and pain.
It is.
But to have that going on, like yeah, it's good.
And may I give a great plug to AfterBuzz TV because I can't think of a more fun way to watch this than with you guys and then coming in here and being able to talk about it. That's why we started this is because there's nowhere to talk about these shows.
Right.
You can only tweet and, you know, do that so much.
Blog.
Message board or whatever. Yeah. You guys at home have the opportunity to call in and do this with us. You can call in and discuss right along with us,
and
give
I love
your opinion.
Because there are things that you guys see that I don't see, but then when you say, oh, that's what that, I love that stuff.
It's so much fun.
It makes you really enjoy it on a whole nother level.
Right?
I think so. I love that.
Like you were just talking
about production value. I mean, I'm telling you, the next time you see it, you're going to start to notice those things and you're going to go, these guys are awesome.
Well, and their shots, the way they shoot them.
Oh, yeah.
When they got the shot
aerial
of the stairs when he was walking, he saw his feet.
They had from underneath, and they went when he was walking into the scene and they were above. I just thought that was a well choreographed.
Before the murder.
Oh,
he
walked I think that thing was great. Yeah.
Well, here he is. He's about to.
Here's all that blue we were talking about. And then the yellow in the background. And you got the red. I mean,
by the way, is it a coincidence we have the same colors going on in here? Blue all red. Jesse just changed the green. This was green earlier.
Hints of yellow and stuff like that.
I was going
primaries.
Now, here's the other thing about Jesse that was interesting is after the murder, you know, I know he crept forward, but afterwards he was leaning back super comfortable. And I was like, oh, it's a little too comfortable, I think.
There was one other shot I noted that I loved was when Skylar went to move the car that we were just talking, that scene we were talking about. When the wide shot as you saw it pull in, you've just got the basketball.
That's the same. Yeah, I was saying
the
same.
Why put that there?
I don't know, except to show you scope and scale.
I think it kind of highlights what she's doing. They're in the middle of suburbia with children,
exactly.
And she doesn't want to invite any more into a house with her son there than she needs to.
Yeah,
you know, but it's just like to make that choice rather than just a wide on the edge of the gutter.
You could have easily
with
done
the car
that
coming.
Shot.
You give it. I mean, it's also good shot
it's
composition.
Just a great,
it gives it balance.
Yeah,
you know, like.
But it was thoughtful. You could see it was thoughtful.
Yeah,
agreed.
And there it is, bang.
Okay,
gone.
Yes. Oh, this is so amazing! And you know what? Bryan Cranston's performance made it even more amazing because look at him.
I know.
Look at the hand. Crawling up, he's horrified. I mean, this is the most amazing scene.
I thought
scene.
Gus was amazing in this too, because he's looking at
Walt
the entire time.
He's just saying, is just takes it to them. He's just fearless and brutal. And
now watch, I can't wait
and
to
then
see.
Drops him at Walt's feet.
And you guys know
specifically.
You guys know that Gus was specifically holding him so the blood squirted on Jesse.
Oh, really?
That's why he was holding.
Walt
almost
vomits
his neck like that.
Holds
see,
it
the
down.
Blood's went
see,
all
look
the way
at that face. This
right
guy's amazing. The right acting on the show.
We've been talking about so much. He comes right forward.
He's growling.
He's not scared. Okay, you want to scare me? I'm not scared.
The acting on this show is so insane.
That's Gus is Giancarlo Esposito, and he's a very seasoned actor. He's been in lots and lots of movies and done really well in everything I've seen him in.
Really? This character is my first relationship with him as an actor, knowingly.
Never
and
knew
I
him
just,
before.
It's just been thrilling.
One of the most
on
of
his homicide.
Look at the blood all over his face.
It's great.
If you guys see on DVD, there's a movie called Fresh, a very very good movie. He plays he actually plays a drug dealer, and he played one of the guys that was that killed Malcolm X in the movie Malcolm X.
Right.
He's been in just countless things.
The reprise.
He's awesome.
Yeah. So, callback of the... shall we go to news and gossip?
Yeah, anybody else had a feeling about the 13 months real quick? I know kind of monopolized that part of it.
You know what? The episode was so good. I'm completely satisfied.
And when they're filling the interim with new shows like The Killing and Walking Dead.
I saw that
ad and I was like, you know what? I might try Walking Dead. Kevin said it was good.
It's only the first season is only 6 episodes. I've never been a zombie guy. Yeah. But it's not a zombie. It's not a zombie. Don't think of it like that.
Really?
It is just.
Why did they show us zombies then?
Well, because that's what it is. Think Danny Boyle. Think if you ever saw 28 Days Later, Danny Boyle.
Yeah.
It's about human existence being threatened how people respond to it.
It's
really
just
good.
Happens
some
to
great
zombies,
actors.
But it's about the people and their forces.
How good? Like, where is it on your list? Breaking Bad's one.
I don't like to rank my number.
He has it in the top 10.
To me, Breaking Bad 1, Dexter number 2. And then from there, it's all kind of a mishmash.
But look,
Is it in your top five?
It's in my top 10.
Okay.
It's definitely, all I'm saying is you can knock it off in a weekend.
Okay.
The first episode, top 10 season.
Is good because right now we are living in, and this is why AfterBuzz TV is coming in at a great time.
Yeah.
We are best living TV. In a time where the best television ever.
Well, better than film.
Yes.
All the great talents are going to TV.
I definitely don't see as many movies as I watch TV shows now.
Well, now it's no longer considered a bad thing for you to be an actress or an actor and do a cable extended channel series or movie.
Actually becoming more. Yeah. I mean, you've got new series coming out with Claire Danes, Don Cheadle.
Exactly.
I mean, the names.
What about
the movies
that are made for cable channels? I mean, there's big actors and actresses doing that stuff now.
Well, they give a TV show a much better chance of finding an audience than they because it can't in a film. You have to get your audience within the first couple of hours.
And the detail just becomes different. Yeah. You're dealing with 13 hours a season rather than 2 hours in a film. It allows you to dig deeper.
Exactly.
You know, and thank God there are channels.
And actors want to and writers want to. So.
Yeah, and it gives them more regular work.
Exactly.
All right, news and gossip.
News and gossip.
Boom.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So, Jihan Carlo Esposito, best known for recently slicing an associate's throat open with a box cutter on the aforementioned AMC drama, has signed to one of TV's most unusual fall pilots. The actor will recur on Once Upon a Time, the fairy tale-based series that stars Jennifer Morrison and Jennifer Goodwin, and takes place in a fictional storybook. Esposito will portray the mirror-trapped visage, who offers advice to the evil queen in one world and a local reporter in another.
Oh, he's the man in the mirror.
He's the man in the
mirror. Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Yeah, and I'm sure he'll be great.
Yeah.
Well,
I know nothing about the show.
I'm going to be like, watch out, the man in the mirror is getting ready to kill you.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't heard nothing of the show, so I don't.
Yeah, it was one of the pilots this year that ABC are doing, and it's like a magical little town in which people are modern day, but then also have these roles in a parallel universe where it's all like Snow White and the Magic Mirror and Evil Queen, and the same actors represent different people in each parallel universe. I can't recall exactly how the two universes meet, but I read part of the pilot. It's obviously, it's ABC family, I think, so it's got a magical, tween teen tween market.
And it's called Once Upon a Time?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I think it draws on all sorts of, like, fairy tales.
Oh, okay.
You know, in the way that Shrek does, I guess. But it's obviously live action. Onward.
So Breaking Bad posted its highest ratings ever in its return last night. The fourth season premiere of the series drew 2.6 million viewers.
Woohoo!
Up 30% from season 3's premiere in March 2010.
I think that's because I tweeted so much about it. It's me!
That's why I watched it.
There you go.
Wait, I did! I told you! I've turned so many people onto this show, actually. I turned, so many people.
It's also up 1.45 million in adults 18 to 49, which is up 26% of last year. Breaking Bad marked AMC's second highest rating season premiere ever behind last year's series debut of The Walking Dead.
Walking
there you go.
Dead.
There you go. Yeah, just spoken.
There you go.
All right, and that's your AfterBuzz TV Breaking Bad news and gossip for the week of July 18th.
Thank you, Jesse.
Thanks, Jesse.
I guess I think I must oversell then. You're a better salesperson than I am.
Oh my
because
God, I sell
what I get in response to when I try to sell Breaking Bad is, you know, I start with, it's the greatest show ever.
Me too! Right?
But then they go, nah, I don't think so. Is it as good as The Wire? Is it as good as this?
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, I just think it's the greatest
show. Don't give up on them. I have Twitter followers who are starting to watch it now. The Steamer, I know you're listening.
Yeah,
you should
Steamer.
Be calling in. Why isn't he called in? I'm so disappointed.
I replied to the Steamer's thing, okay? And I said, greatest show ever. He goes, yeah, that's the guy that said, oh, yeah, right, not as good as The Wire. He's like already doubting me. I killed your sale.
I know he watched it. I know he's trying to get into it. My best friend just bought the collection. She's flying to Africa. Mm-hmm. She's like, I'm going to be watching it on all my flights and stuff. So
I just tell people, give it two shows.
Yeah. I always say get through the first one because the first one was a little slow at first. Yeah. But then after that, you're hooked.
Two
and
shows,
if I'm hooked, I have good taste.
So what's happening? What with predictions?
Predictions.
Let's do some predictions.
I got lots of these.
Okay.
I volunteer.
All right. I'll keep
going. Go for it.
Ed, go first.
Okay. So, you know, there's obvious predictions because we saw the next episode stuff, right? Yeah. So we see what's going to happen. But the thing that I am just completely stressed out about how they're going to deal with this, is the fact that we've got these really powerful relationships. We've got Walt and Jesse. We've got now Walt and Mike building their thing, right? And even though it's antagonistic, Gus, that's a relationship he has. And then Hank, and these, they're related. That's brother-in-law, right? The secrets that exist that haven't been revealed, to me, will obliterate all of these things, especially the Jesse thing. Jesse he's still got to be bitter because if you remember when he got beat up by Hank and he was in the bed, in the hospital bed, and he told Walt, he goes, you're the reason why I don't want to cook. And it's because ever since you came into my life, everything I love has been lost. And he was like, he hated Walt more than anything. And then a few minutes later, he calls him and says, 50-50? Okay, I'm in, right? And I think he's still got to be bitter, but wait till he finds out that Walt let his girlfriend die. Wait till he finds that out.
Will that ever come up? You think that will come
up?
Of
course! Definitely.
If they don't let us, I'm going to feel like they treated us when the episode of season of Lost, when they didn't explain everything away. Right. If they don't do that, there's no way.
Good.
Yeah, it's too good. Exactly. Yeah. It's the best show to do.
Yeah, it's too meaty.
Yeah, how can you not?
Yeah.
How and why Hank got hurt, right? Because of the relationship with Gus, right? It was to save Walt. But even worse is when Hank finds out that Walt made the call to Saul to have his assistant call and pretend that his wife was sick and he had to run to the hospital. You remember how mad he was? My predictions have to do with I do not.
That was such a great scene.
I'm completely like
Pandora's box.
I'm like, how are you going to do it? You're going to ruin everything.
The one thing that's amazing.
They've built up so many crazy. Yeah. Like,
it's hard to talk at, you know, beyond generalizations really, sure, but what you can be certain of.
Yeah,
there is the blood on the red. But is that for the stuff to come out, you know, into the open, the stakes are going to have to be really high. You know that they will have like turned up the temperature so substantially that we're going to be watching something that is going to be so intense that it allows that provides a context in which Walt has to tell him, in which he cannot keep it in anymore, which means that whatever it is, I want to be watching.
Remember, he almost told him already. Remember when he was on the sleeping pills and he was, he almost told him.
I want to know how long do Walt and Jesse have in this situation? Because as Walt said, and he's being smart, it's only a matter of time.
Yeah,
I think that they could.
And Jesse's cockiness could hurt them.
It's about, definitely it's their expendability versus them getting control over their self-preservation, you know, within the world. So at what point do they go out? Do they go out on their own?
Yeah, because that's be their next logical
gun up and protect themselves.
They've just got to start killing people.
Kill Gus and take over on their own.
You know, they've just got to start killing.
That's one way they could go.
Gus already killed all the people over him, right? I mean, most of the significant people that would have protected him. I mean, who's protecting Gus? Why isn't somebody just kill Gus?
All the people that he pays.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's it's money. Gus money is the ultimate. Yeah.
That's why they have to keep.
But that's why with Mike on their side, that's why they're going to be
Mike
able to take
right
out
there.
Gus.
I'm not sure that Mike is like you could say. I mean,
he's going to be. Though.
I think
he's going to build to be on their side.
You think?
Yeah,
he's
going to build. He's going to inherit this huge $8 million. You know,
I think ultimately Gus will go where the money pays him to go.
Absolutely.
He's a mercenary. He's a,
you mean Mike?
Mike, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
he's a mercenary.
At some point, he's going to realize, because as all mercenaries do,
when the time comes for Walt to take over and become the king,
Mike
will be with him.
Wait a minute. What does Mike want with money? The guy's got one foot in the grave. He used to be a cop. He hates himself and his life.
But that's why he does this whole thing.
No, he's not doing it. There's some other reason. He's not doing it for money.
He's a mercenary. That's it. It's like he's addicted. Yes, he has his own addiction, and that's this job.
This is just his
but
life.
It's just he goes wherever he's paid to go. That's what mercenaries do.
It's just his life.
I think that he's with Gus same reason why Walt respects Gus. There's because he is a man of precision and he knows where he stands with Gus. And
I don't think that he knows that now.
I think he knows still.
He's terrified.
I think you're right. That's why he likes working for him. Because he's the best.
He knows where he stands with the guy.
Sure.
You know, I think he knew that. I don't know why he was so shocked and he pulled his gun because it really
that's
was
what
like
I'm saying.
He was
I don't
shocked.
Think he was shocked. When, I don't think he knew that.
But he
I don't,
the guy
it
was
just
dead.
To see him go for one,
I think he
one
knew
of their
he was
own.
Dead, but he
one
didn't think it was going to happen right then.
Okay.
Because normally, I'm guessing he would have had Mike do it. I think it just really shocked him to have him do it.
I feel like Mike would kill anybody.
The other thing to really like in terms of immediate predictions is. How much hot water Gail having his lab notes is going to get them.
Yeah, that'll be the big deal.
That's like an immediate concern.
Because they're going to see all the information about the 99% and whoever or however that's going to tie
it
back.
It just depends what's in there and how soon does that information get to Hank?
And I love that we don't know what's in there.
No, it doesn't matter what's in the book because everybody in the room's in on it. Gail's not dead.
Wait, the other thing is okay, so and this goes back to you, once like Pandora's box is open and everything comes out.
It's all over.
I wonder, is Walt gonna start thinking, because he's already thinking in this scene, what are we gonna do next? Is he gonna think about how do I tell them without telling them to relocate them? Because his biggest fear is his family being hurt by all of this, right? Because he knows everything he's done leading up to this has hurt his family and everyone around him. So he's got to be planning a relocation for them so he can just go and do his thing and not worry about them.
He's going to plan to kill everybody that can, and in a way that will not come back to him, and so he can go back to his life with his money. But I think what sucks is that he can't recover from the fact that in the beginning, before it got up to the part where Sky had sex with her boss. Before that, he had done everything to help his family. When he decided to go back to dealing drugs because his wife slept with that guy, that's when his motivation became impure. That's when now you got no excuse, dude. You brought all this heat back on everybody and got getting all these people killed. Why? Because you got pissed off because your wife cheated.
I think that's all 100% true. I do feel that there's been another just element or layer running concurrent to that for Walt the whole time, and I think there's something very Shakespearean about about him, and with all
to be or not to be,
all that stuff, like, but all
to
of
be a
all
drug
of Shakespeare's
or not to be a drug?
The fatal flaw, like, you know, I mean, when you talk about Shakespearean characters, you talk about what, like, their fatal flaw. It's an argument that brings them down, and Walt is too proud. sometimes his ego makes him too proud, and his hurt pride over not making millions as his mate did.
As his friend did.
And then his attachment that I think starts coming in early when he buys the hat and he gets the glasses and he starts to kind of go, actually, I kind of like this.
Yeah, he felt powerful.
Everything he wanted.
And then the pride about his work, that there's this other element that has at sometimes led him astray and turned him, made him make decisions that weren't always in Jesse's best interest. Not so much with the girlfriend stuff, but just times where he's like, nah, you know what? I'm in charge.
Right.
I'm doing this. You know, like that sense of power that has turned
him on. Because he was
henpecked
before.
The same time that his wife cheated on him, that's also when Jesse threw in his lap, hey, here's the meth I made. Right, and he's all, you call this meth?
That's his
ego.
That's right.
And remember, he leaned in and tried to kiss the assistant principal or whatever, and then the next scene, he's walking out with his boxes, and he's all, what, you get fired?
Yeah.
Jesse says, that's a leave of absence.
So here's the red. Look at all the red cans.
Oh, yeah.
That's well spot. And the chairs as well.
The chairs.
I don't know. Bad.
When would you see that? And look, these are clear, the yellow or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, they probably did that.
When would you see that in a restaurant? They bought those things.
I don't know.
And coming off the red? The red shoes.
One other prediction question I had was about.
Okay, but wait. But speaking of Walt, who does he say? Just put me in a room.
That's what I was about to say.
Who is that?
It's Gus.
Who is he doing? You think it's Gus?
Wait. What are you talking about?
He says, "Put me in a room with them, and I'll do the rest." That's what he says
in the
preview
flashes of
next week.
Walt says that.
But who is he saying it about?
He's telling Mike to put him in a room with Gus.
I think next episode there's going to be a new element involved, an element that's going to like be a trajectory for this season.
Yeah,
and I have a feeling it's going to be, I don't know. I think we may not know who it is.
What
yet.
If it's about Hank?
Could be about Hank, but it also could be about Jesse. If Jesse's going off on the deep
end,
do
you
think
he's going to
do something with. Yeah. Not that he's necessarily
I think that at this point Walt can be in a room with Jesse or Hank or even Gus potentially without it being that much of an issue.
I don't think it's going to be Gus.
I think it's someone
think it's
we
Hank
don't know.
Or Jesse. I think it could be Hank because Hank's obviously going through a tough time. The sister could come and ask like, I need your help, or maybe they find something out or whatever, and he's like, put me in a room with them. I'll do the rest.
Oh, you think it might not be about killing?
No, I felt like it was a room he can't get into on his own.
I don't remember seeing that, to be honest,
right.
So it's hard for me to remember.
He seemed desperate, and I think he was holding a gun.
Later on,
we saw him, just the next scene,
it felt linked to me in the way that they'd cut it. I don't know if that was mislead, as they often sometimes do.
I was watching Bryan Cranston.
Here's that walk away you were talking about.
The pants still don't quite fit. I just think that's good.
He's still uncomfortable in his new uniform.
Yeah, that's right. It just still
doesn't quite fit him.
It's lovely. There's just still a...
Walking away from his house, his home.
They always, like, bring him down to, like, exactly. to a ground level.
The pathetic look on his face.
Yeah, and then this great last scene of... There's the phone as well that they've been calling him on, that they were calling him on.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure they'll be able to decode those.
Those are burners.
They destroy all of that stuff, but...
that a great... The way they revealed the tea kettle with the water and everything, I thought that was cool, too.
It was lovely, wasn't it? And then there it is, the lab notes.
Dun, dun, dun.
I thought that was kind of funny that he would have it so obvious on there, like lab notes.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, they showed it in the first scene when he said, I analyzed the blue meth. He took it off of that same book. But, it is a bit in your face right there.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if that's for a reason.
Yeah, dude, you're a drug manufacturer. Do you really have it on the coffee table?
Exactly.
Well, here's the thing. They could just be numbers.
Huh?
It might not say crystal meth. It might have just said 99% pure.
Oh, they're
going to
know.
It might not be what it was.
They're going to know.
So
I'm so excited for next episode.
Except for the fact that it doesn't matter because everybody's in on it in Gilmore.
Yeah.
Oh,
I
gosh.
Predict that
I'm
won't
just
be
saying.
True.
Yeah, that's my prediction too.
Well, listen, very, very excited to be with all of you today.
Yes, thank you much.
Thanks, guys.
I hope everyone who tuned in enjoyed it.
Call in.
Call in next week. Take notes during
the
episode. And call in with your opinions and your questions. We want to hear from you. Thanks for joining us.
There you go.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network.
If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.